We at the First Pentecostal Church of God want to thank you for taking the time to listen to the message that God has revealed to our church. We hope and pray that it encourages you and strengthens you for His service. May God bless you as you listen. But we ended chapter 1 in Joshua this morning, and it ended on a great note. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. I have commanded you, be strong and courageous. And then in the end of it all, when Joshua is talking to the men on the other side of Jordan, telling them they're going to have to go to the fight, they say to Joshua, only be strong and courageous. And when Joshua is getting ready to go into the promised land, he gets two spies. And he tells the two spies, he says, men, I want you to go and I want you to spy out the land. Now, I really think, I've read this, and this is Bruce Theology 101, okay? So take it for what it is, all right? That means I can't prove this or substantiate this. It's in the book of Bruce, chapter 2, verse 5, okay? That's exactly what it means. I really believe that Joshua decided he wasn't going to send 12 people because 12 people only cause wreck. Amen? I believe he said, I'm only going to send 2 people because I remember what happened when Moses sent 12. And God just got done reminding Joshua in verse 1 of chapter 1 that Moses is dead, and he's dead as a part of the problem that 12 spies were sent out and only 2 had a good report and 10 of them had an evil report. And I really believe that Joshua handpicked the men that he sent out. He didn't send weaklings out there. Amen? He didn't pick the guys that didn't really want to go out there and fight. He picked probably the hot-headed, let's go out there, zealous people he could find and say, I want you to go spy out the land and bring back a report about what's going on there. And so he picked these 2 spies out to go into the promised land. And they go in there going through the promised land, viewing the land, and they come to Jericho. And they meet a very, very special lady. A very special lady. A lady that deserves great recognition. And they meet this woman. Her name is Rahab. Now, what can I say about Rahab? Well, let me tell you that let's just put it plainly. She's a prostitute. Amen? She's a prostitute. The Bible calls her Rahab the harlot. Her home is literally on the wall. On the wall of Jericho. She has a window that literally outlooks Jericho. And there she is on the wall. And I believe she has this building for a particular reason, because she wants to spy the newcomers coming in. That's Bruce Theology 101 again. But it is definitely my theology, amen? And she is a harlot at best. So this is not the woman you invite home to show mama, hey, this is the woman I want to marry. She's not the one that everybody's handpicking to come to the family dinner. Amen? She's not the person that everybody says, hey, I think I want to invite Rahab over to the church function. She can be a great help. Let's call the harlot down and let her help us down here at the church function. Come on. When's the last time at your church functions you went down to some place where you knew women were openly selling their bodies and said, hey, we need some help down here to serve food. Why don't you come on down and help us serve some food down here? That none of us do that, church. None of us go pick the harlot as the person to use. But listen, and my message to you this evening is this: the conversion of a brothel. The conversion of a brothel. Because literally, Rahab's house is a house of ill repute. Her home, her bedroom is not used for glory, for the glory of God to come down in. Come on now, I'm being real here, okay? Her room is not used as a place where she's having prayer meetings. Her house is not a Bible study house. Okay? She's a woman of ill repute. She's a prostitute. She sells her body so she can make money. She's not the popular person. No one invites her to Congress and gets her opinion on what needs to be done in the state of Jericho. She's the low-class individual. She's a homewrecker, church. A ruiner of families. A destroyer of wives' hearts to the faithfulness of their husbands. She's destructive in all that she does. She is a prostitute, a harlot, and she enjoys what she's doing while she does it. But something takes place. Something happens in Rahab that is pretty phenomenal. Matter of fact, some of the things that Rahab displays in Joshua chapter 2 are so phenomenal that you don't even see it in some of God's people today. Come on, somebody, that's true. What I find absolutely amazing that hidden in the walls of Jericho is a prostitute that has more faith than even the children of Israel had when they came out of Egypt's bondage. I find that absolutely amazing. Because when she finds the spies that come in, she hides them on the roof of her house. And when the people of Jericho knew that the spies were there, they came to Rahab's house, the harlot, because they knew that they were there. Now, I don't want to get into theological debate to find out why in the world two Jewish boys are down at the harlot's house, okay? I don't know. Let's just say it was the only place to go. Let's just say maybe they're trying to hide out. I don't know. But here they are at the harlot's house, and that's where they're at. And Rahab hides them on the roof behind the flax while the people come in to find out where they are. And when the townspeople of Jericho said, "Where are the spies that came to you?" She goes, "I don't know." I like that about her. She's lying. Oh, yeah, she's lying, all right. I can tell you that. She's lying. Now, I'm not trying to condone lying by any means, but boy, I'll tell you what. She did it for her own purpose and her own reason. She said, "No, I don't know where they're at," but she knows right where they're at. And she tells the people, "But listen, they left not long ago. And if you go out now, you'll catch them. They went that way." And sure enough, They get on their horses, they open the gates, and they take off looking for him. And when they're about to go to bed, put up verse 8 for me. Will you put that up there for me? Verse 8. It said, "And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof." Next verse. "And she said unto the men," I know. The prostitute knows something. "I know that the Lord hath given you the land." Now, I find that extremely fascinating, because here is faith in a woman who doesn't even know faith. She did not grow up in an Israelite home and was taught the things of God like most Israelite boys or girls were taught. She didn't grow up in Sunday school, if you get what I'm saying. She didn't have a Christian mom and dad to teach her the right things, but she has got faith that is just beyond. She says, "I know that God has given you the land." You see, within the walls of Jericho, the people were still, they still had hope in their walls. But Rahab didn't have hope in her walls. Come on, somebody, that's good. She did not have hope in her walls. The walls were not her hope. She knew that God had given them the land, and so the walls of Jericho could not stop the God of the Israelites. That's why she said, I know that God has given you the land. What faith could this be? This is amazing how God is moving in a life that most people would ignore, that most people would say she's worthless. Why invite her? Why get her plugged in? Why use her? Because God specializes in converting the people. You have no clue where they've been, what they've done, and how far they've gone. She's a prostitute, and she's got faith. Even though the land belongs to the children of Israel, she says, I'm going to take advantage of this. Boy, I wish to God we had Christians that took advantage of what God has given to them. Come on now. Here's a prostitute that says, I got some spies here, and I know that the land belongs to them. I know that they have, that this all is theirs. And so I'm going to take advantage of this. She sees an opportunity, and she hides the spies, and that's her way of saying, I'm going to do something about this. Most Christians, you can't get them to pray on Sunday morning in the house of God, where it is supposed to be the house of prayer. We got most churches getting rid of the altars because people don't pray. We've got a lot of Pentecostal churches canceling Sunday nights because they can't get people to come. We've got a lot of churches saying, what's the point of Wednesday night? We got 8 people drinking coffee, fellowshipping. There's no reason for it. And they cancel them. And they have one service on Sunday. That's not seizing the opportunity, if you get what I'm saying. It's not seizing the opportunity. The harlot, the prostitute, the woman no one saw anything in, sees an opportunity to get in with God, and she takes advantage of it. Oh, I wish to God that we had that again in the church. I wish to God that our altars were filled with hearts of people that said, Lord, I'm taking advantage of the fact that I could call out on your name. I'm taking advantage of the fact that I can scream out to you and you'll hear my words. She seized an opportunity. She sees that this opportunity, that she needs to hold on to it. Look at verse 9. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. Verse 9. Over. Go to the next verse. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. Wow. I guess that's all I could say to that is, wow. So let me break this down for you, white boy style. One day, Rahab's out on the porch, sipping on her tea and coffee. Someone comes by and says, did you hear the news? Rahab says, no, what news? Well, you didn't hear? You didn't hear what happened in Egypt? It's all over Jericho news. Nope, didn't hear a thing about it. It's going through all the land about what has happened. Rahab says, well, finally, tell me what's going on. Well, what happened is that God of the Israelites delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt's bondage, and they were wandering out, and they came to the Red Sea. But listen to this, Rahab, not just that. They got to the Red Sea, and they were trapped by the sea and by Pharaoh's army. So their God parted the water, and they walked on dry ground, about 1.2 million people, and they crossed the Red Sea, and it was on dry ground. Now, for most Jericho people, they'd be like, oh, okay. But not Rahab. When she heard the story about how God dried a Red Sea, she realized that the walls of Jericho could never stop the God of the Israelites. There was nothing that this God could not do. If 1.2 million people can walk on dry ground, and when Pharaoh's army comes chasing them, God drowns them in a Red Sea. So she had heard the word of God, and it did something to her. It did something to her. And you know what I'm talking about. You Christians know exactly what I'm talking about. What the word of God does to us when we hear it. It inspires us. It pushes us. Some of you didn't have a desire to serve God, but then you came to the house of the Lord and you heard His word, and all of a sudden a desire sprang out inside of you to please the Almighty God. That's the power of God's word. And when the prostitute in Jericho heard what God could do, she began to believe in something that she did not even understand completely. Didn't even know who Jehovah I Am is. Didn't even know that He called Abraham out of the Ur of the Chaldees. Didn't even know that He's the God of Noah. He's the God of Jacob, Isaac, and of Abraham. She didn't know those things. But she said, I've heard about what this God does, and I want an opportunity to get to know Him. A prostitute. I think that's pretty phenomenal. I think that's amazing. She heard the word of God, and it caused belief in her that she could not trust the walls in Jericho. This belief caused her to react and caused her to hide the children of Israel, the two spies. When you believe something, church, if you really believe it, you're going to act on it. When you really believe something, you're going to act on it. Otherwise, you don't believe it. You ever heard people trying to convince themselves of something they should believe? They usually constantly tell themselves that. Word of faith people are bad about that. That was for free. But she believes in something wonderful. She heard what God can do, and she says in her heart, I want this God. I want this God. She'd never seen a God that she'd ever served ever change things like that for her. She never knew of a God that could split a Red Sea or do any of those things. And so when she had an opportunity, she took advantage of it. She hid the people because she knew that this was her chance. A chance for a prostitute. Rahab refuses to believe that the God of Israel can be stopped by the walls that everybody else is trusting in. She hides the spies and she says, listen, we've heard what God's done. We know what He's capable of. And we know that this land is yours. I know that you're going to come here and this all belongs to you. So what I want to do is just simply go ahead and surrender now. Come on now, I ought to preach that to some of you. You need to surrender now because it already belongs. If you didn't know this, you're breathing His air, church. You're living on His planet, drinking up His water, using up His resources. This is His. Everything He's got is His. And so you ought to just go ahead and surrender now, because that's what she says. The prostitute said, I want to go ahead and submit myself unto you now, because I know it belongs to you already. And I know that if I submit now, you might be kind to me later. She told the spies, she said, listen, I want you to remember me when you come here. And the spy said, I'll tell you what. As she's lowering him down through the window. What verse was that, sis, that we were going to go to? Go to that verse. Behold, when we come into the land, this is what the spy said. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring the father, thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. Go to the next verse. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of the house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head. Look at your neighbor and tell him it's time to stay in the house. Amen. It's time to stay in the house. Because Rahab says, I want something in return. Since I've been kind to you and I haven't turned you over, I want you to promise me safety. And so the spies said, we want you to hang this thread in the window of you're letting us down, and hang this thread in the window. And when we see it, we will remember our oath to you. We will remember the fact that you were good to us and did not tell nobody what we were doing, and we will not destroy you. And you can bring your family, you can bring your brethren, you can bring them all and pack them in the house. Oh man, how I want to pack them in the house, amen. I want to pack your friends, I want to pack your family, I want to pack all of them, and I want to get them in the house, because inside the house is the safest place to be. When the judgment of the Lord comes and meets Jericho, it's Rahab's house, the harlot's house, the brothel house, that becomes a safe haven for all those people that want to be saved from the day of judgment. God literally converts a brothel into a salvation home. Am I the only one that's like, whoa? Wow. God, you are awesome. That you could take a woman of ill repute and put faith in her that most Christians dare to even have or dare to even touch, and put something in her that not only saves her, she had such faith that didn't just save her, it saved her mama, it saved her daddy, it saved her kids, it saved her friends, it saved them all, and everybody in the house was saved. But the people said, they've got to stay in the house, because if they come out, their blood's on their own head. Listen, you gotta stay in the house, because if you don't, you're gonna find yourself out in the streets, and when the day of the Lord comes, it might take you unaware. You gotta stay in the house. Rahab stayed. She got her family, got them in the house. Now, and we will be guiltless, and whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on his head, if any hand be upon him. Next one. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quiet of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. Next one. And she said, according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. She didn't have occasional Christianity, if you know what I'm saying. You see, most Christians, they wait until judgment comes to really get in. Come on, somebody, that's good. Amen. They serve God based on occasion. Well, I'm falling apart, God, I need you. But when it's bright, rosy out and sunshiny days, they're not serving God. This woman put the scarlet line, Rahab put the scarlet line in the window the moment they left. That line was in the window the whole time while they were going back to tell Joshua. And when they come back to Jericho, the line is still in the window. Because she's not serving God on by her occasions. She knows that judgment is to come. And so she's serving God faithfully by representing God with a scarlet line in a window. And it's her salvation, church. It's her salvation. You can judge her all you want, but she's saved because the scarlet line in the window. You can mock her past. You can make fun of what she did. You can ridicule her. But this woman is being converted, and she's not just going to be any woman, but God has a destiny for her, a plan for her, a job for her, and you don't even know the half of it. God's not just converting the brothel, but he's going to do something in a prostitute. And when the men got to Jericho, they'd march around Jericho. And the first day they march around. Everybody else make fun, but they come to a certain spot in the window and go, man, that girl's got faith. And they keep marching around the window, the thing on the next day. See us for 7 days. Each time for 7 days, they had to march around it one time. But on the seventh day, they marched around it seven times. So on the second day when they marched around it, Joshua probably looked over at the spies and go, man, that girl's got some faith. And they just kept marching around the building, you see. And when they got to the other side and they saw the scarlet line in the window, they said, you remember, we can't touch that home. That's a salvation home. God's going to save that house. And they kept moving around. On the next day, on the third day, they kept marching around Jericho. And when they got to the next, when they got to saw the scarlet line in the window, some of the people in the crowd began to catch on about the prostitute that had faith and said, man, that girl's got some serious faith. And they kept marching around the next day. On the fifth day, it began to be an excitement. And on the seventh day, for seven times, they marched around that place. And I don't know how God did it, but the Bible says the walls went flat, but her house was standing still. It was a house of salvation. It was a house that God used to save people that chose him over Jericho. It was a token, a sign of a covenant. And every time they marched around, they saw the covenant. Every time we see a cloud of rain out here in Arizona, we see a covenant. It's called a rainbow. When everybody knew, how'd you know you were an Israelite? There was a sign in the flesh, and it was called circumcision. And that was a covenant. And that little red line was a covenant. It was a red line of salvation. Listen, I've got a new covenant, and let me tell you what it is. It's the covenant of Jesus Christ. He gave me a line in my window, if you understand what I'm trying to say. He gave me a red-blooded line in my window, and I put it on the doorpost of my heart and on the mantle of my heart. And in my heart is salvation because of what Jesus has provided for me. God converted a brothel. Am I the only one dumbfounded by that? You don't hear brothels in church, you know. You don't go to church and go, we're going to hear about a brothel today. But God converted a brothel, changed a woman and her family. Now listen, God had a destiny for this woman. She displayed faith beyond, faith that rescued her from the judgment that was coming to the people in the land that belonged to the Israelites. God saw in her something wonderful. Go to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, I just want you to catch this. Can you put it up there quickly for me, sis? The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. We're talking about his lineage right now, okay? Next verse. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. Next verse. And Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Tamar. And Phares begat Esram. And Esram begat Aram. And go to the next one. And Aram begat Amminadab. And Amminadab begat Naasson. And Naasson begat Salmon. Next verse. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. Whoa. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. Wow. A Jericho woman, a prostitute, a woman of ill repute, God not only saved her, delivered her, but gave her the greatest future she could ever dream of. That her lineage would live forever. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. A prostitute in the lineage of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but that sure makes me feel awful good. Because I know that I was a prostitute in my own rights, amen? I had prostituted the word of God. I had prostituted the things of God. I had sold him cheaply. I had abused his what he has given to me. But oh, thank God, he's got hope. He got hope in Jesus Christ. Amen. We've got hope. If God can convert a brothel, he can convert anybody. He can convert your friends you think are far away. He can convert your family that push you away. He can convert them all. He's got the ability to convert them. He uses this woman, then puts her in the very lineage of Jesus Christ himself. What a powerful, powerful statement to be made. God was saying, is anything too hard for me? Is anything too hard for me? Now, I just want to know, how did Solomon hook up with Rahab? I've thought about this quite a bit, so I've come up with Bruce Theology 101. It's in the book of Bruce, chapter 5, verse 7. So that you take it for what it is, okay? One day, Solomon comes home and says, Mama, found me a great woman. I want to marry her. Who is it, son? It's the prostitute out of Jericho. Well, son, I don't know about that. She's not even an Israelite. Oh, yeah, Mama. She's converted. She's an Israelite through and through. She's serving God, Jehovah. She's got more faith than some of these women walking around here in this God, Jehovah. And I don't know how they hooked up or how this happened. I don't know how Solomon brought Rahab home to Mama. But somehow that happened. And they had children. And when they had children, their children had children. And then their children had children. And somewhere down the line, all of a sudden, out of the came the very lineage of David himself. And then David's had children. And their children had children. And their children had children. And I know you know where I'm going. But generations to come, all of a sudden, here comes Jesus out of the same lineage of a harlot that God converted. Oh man, how exciting that is, because God can convert. Praise the Lord for his power to convert.